entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Welcome back to hour number two, the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on this first Saturday of November, a super Saturday for college football conference championships. I'm joined by baseball Ben Botham, of course, the legendary bowling coach, the Seminole Warhawk program. He launched this program months ago. When we're doing the Hall of Fame induction to the bowling coaches, you're going to be the first pioneer.
There we go.
And you'll be recognized for.
Maybe I'll get my own ball too.
Your own ball, your own glove, your own comb over when you get a little older.
Hey, hopefully that doesn't come.
Your own pack.
I'm hoping to hold this.
Pack of smokes for your shirt.
Yeah, it was pretty good over there.
Falstaff beer in your hand.
Hey, but Mike, I do have the new responsibility. I'm working the clock, the scoreboard for women's basketball.
Girls
basketball.
When we're talking girls, you go women's. When we're talking women's, you go girls. These are young ladies.
Yes.
That's the safest way for you to go.
For ladies basketball.
Are you excited about that? You got to pay attention to detail.
I certainly do. It's a lot of stress, Mike. I was sweating through my shirt.
Stress,
you know my understanding of basketball is zero. Nothing.
So the guy that's in on the coaching staff in baseball, they make him the scorekeeper for basketball, and you don't know a free throw from a three-pointer.
Just the girls. They wouldn't give me the men's. I mean, boys.
Oh, but now you're minimizing the women's, the girls program.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, be careful.
I'm not trying to go there.
He did soccer, and the kid snapped his leg. You're a bad penny, brother.
Well, it's a good time. I started to learn a little bit. Like, I learned what a jump ball was. Had no clue what that was.
I can't believe how your education on other sports is expanded.
Hey, basketball's new to me. I'll kind of follow along. I still don't understand all the rules and stuff. A lot of them don't quite make any sense. But, hey, it's got a round ball. And
I like the fact that you're getting well-rounded anyway. It's good for your resume in the world of academics and athletics, even though I don't see you ever moving on from your alma mater. We're brought to you each and every week, of course, by Body Armor on our high school piece and Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, even our friends at the Hippie Shack and Shrimpies. This is a big day for all of them because it is college football. It's conference championship weekend, and we had to bring in our expert. He had a long commute. I'm glad that he could get here, fight the traffic. You can hear him each and every week on Big Monday down at Sea Dogs Brewery. He and Oscar Garner III do a superb job. And without bated breath and delay, let's bring him into the conversation. Good morning, or it's good afternoon, Alex Reba. How are you, my man?
Excited to be here.
Be nice if I turned your mic on. There you go.
Can you hear me now? Thank you, Mike.
We can hear you now.
Great to be here. Championship Saturday doesn't get any better than this. Penn State basketball just tipped off 9 minutes ago. Big game against Bucknell, repping the alma mater now.
That was my topic to intro you.
Really? Well, then there you go. It's the big PA showdown. I'm sure every TV is going to be tuned to the Big Ten Network now. There's nothing else in the world of sports worth covering. So, you know, I think we just get into that.
Well, and actually, Florida State has a big game today as well in the world of basketball. They take on North Carolina Tar Heels.
They do, and they're
nobody
coming off
gives a damn.
Tough loss they had against Georgia in the SEC-ACC inaugural game there. They blew that 20-point lead down the stretch. So the Seminoles are going to need a big rebound game here today.
Well, let's stick with college basketball just for a minute, because I love this time of year. And I know you do. You're the biggest young junkie I've ever run into as far as overlapping sports, travel. Your free time is sports time, and it's very cool, and you do a superb job of it. However, when I'm staying up last night, and I'm trying to go back and forth between the football game. You got Washington, Oregon, but I've been in Fog Allen in Lawrence, Kansas, probably two dozen times to see some classic basketball games. And then you got North Carolina Tar Heels and the Kansas Jayhawks, a battle of two top fives, UConn, I'm sorry, yep. And the last two national championship winners. You're not going to get any more vibrant and electricity. I don't care if it was college football weekend.
That's what makes it tough. They put it at a horrible time. I mean, it was a 9 o'clock tip-off on a Friday night against... I had a ton of friends who didn't even realize Washington, Oregon was last night. Oscar didn't even realize that game was going on.
Oscar,
my roommate, two of my biggest college football friends, did not know that game was starting last night. And I was like... I also didn't until I checked. I sat down after work and was like, oh, we got Kansas UConn going up against Washington, Oregon. This is why the YouTube TV multi-view has come in so clutch this year.
Well, I have
absolutely
that,
love
but
that.
I only have it in the bedroom, so I had to go lay in bed like the grandpa old man that I am. I didn't care.
There were so many games going on last night. We also had a Purdue upset up against Northwestern as we look at the Big Ten. That's the second year in a row that Purdue with Zach Edey has fallen to Northwestern. They were the number one team in the nation going up against an unranked Boo Booey-led Northwestern Wildcats team. That game is also going up against, like we said, a UConn-Kansas game, which Kansas, their fans had been sleeping at Allen Fieldhouse that started after their game on Monday or Tuesday.
Make that a bucket list for yourself.
It's already. I want to get to Indiana. I want to get to Kansas. I want to get to Gonzaga, Spokane.
I've been to Indiana.
I want to see all of the big stops. And it was fantastic to see college basketball when those two teams meet. Dan Hurley obviously was happy to get back to Kansas. They said he attended a basketball camp there years ago, so he gets to go up against Bill Self. I saw Jason Sudeikis, Coach Ted Lasso himself.
He was hilarious.
Was there.
You know, the Ted Lasso actor, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, was he a graduate or he went
Kansas
to JUCO?
Grad, I believe, yeah.
But there was also a story that he did play some JUCO school in Kansas, which is a huge junior college landscape, the state of Kansas. And he was having a hell of a good time.
He's as big a Kansas Jayhawk fan as you're going to find.
Oh, my God.
And UConn, I don't know, was Bill Murray in the house? Because Bill Murray,
he loves those Huskies.
I don't know if it's his son or his nephew is on the coaching staff.
His son.
Yeah, Luke Murray is one of the top coaches. They're pinning to be a new head coach very soon.
I would have loved to seen those two characters sitting next to each other.
Yeah, it's a star-studded affair when those two teams meet. They have no shortage of avid fans. I've seen both fan bases in person. I saw the Kansas when they were in the Final Four in New Orleans. Rock Chalk Jayhawk Nation shows up, and they won that game last night. But hats off to UConn. They were without one of their best players. They were on the road in a hostile environment. They took it to the wire. So this UConn team...
That was a hell of a game for that
UConn
early
team
in the season.
Looks like they could potentially be announcing a comeback for a second championship in a row. But with this Kansas team, star-studded, they brought in Hunter Dickinson from the transfer portal. They still have KJ Adams, McCullough Jr., some really talented guys from some championship DNA in them, and of course, Bill Self. So college basketball is in a great state right now. I can't wait. Penn State, a little rough right now, but hopefully they get a tune-up game against Bucknell before the Big Ten slate starts getting heavy.
I go back to the Roy Williams days. I used to do a trade-out with my little entity in Des Moines for all both my sons were point guards, and we'd send them down to Roy Williams camp. And being a Hawkeye fan, but I remember the first time I walked in the summertime, I'm at half court. And I got goosebumps.
There's nothing like it.
E.A. Naismith and the history of basketball right there in Lawrence. And people don't realize how rich in tradition it is. And in those days, they really sucked in football. And now there's a resurgence, fortunately, and they can put some money into the program. But basketball will always rule in Kansas.
I mean, there's just so many great college basketball rivalries. And the good thing that I seem to see anymore is we see so many of these college football. Oscar and I talk about all the time. These college football rivalries are going by the wayside due to the conference.
We talked about that a little bit ago.
It continues to happen. But in college basketball, they're really usually able to keep these rivalries going regardless of conference alignment. We have the backyard brawl between Pitt and WVU coming up this week. Obviously, we get the battle for Tobacco Row with North Carolina and Duke, one of the best rivalries in all of college athletics, all of sports in general.
Them to both of those venues.
Exactly. Those are bucket list items for me. My
you
roommate.
Get moving, man.
Hey, I'm going to the Orange Bowl
only
Classic.
Got you by 40 years.
Yeah. Going to the Orange Bowl Classic next weekend in Miami. That's going to feature USF, the Florida Gators, the Florida State Seminoles, and the Richmond Spiders. So those are also fun teams.
That'll
and
then be a blast.
2 weeks from now, we're going to be at MSG for Penn State, Georgia Tech, and St. John's Fordham. So we're trying to check off as many boxes. Shout out to my amazing girlfriend who sat through a full slate last
amazing.
Sunday. Yeah, she did four games in Orlando. Two of which were complete blowouts. So.
Bright. And
you can't find a better one.
She loves sports. She's come
down. She tolerates sports.
She tolerates sports.
Big difference.
She came down to Sea Dogs, and I thought, oh, my gosh, we didn't even have a speaker.
Yeah.
And she's sitting there, but she had a couple adult beverages.
She's the best. She'll be stopping by for the end of the show, hopefully.
Good. All right.
Switch over to college football. That's what we need to talk about.
That's where we should be today. And, of course, we need to talk about last night's game. What a great game. Of course, a local boy. I would like to see him get the Heisman. We were talking about him a little bit earlier.
Is he your front runner after that game?
I almost have to say yes.
I think I would have to say yes as well, because coming into that night, it seemed like Bo Nix had the opportunity to lock up.
And that kid is a baller, though.
His spot. And Bo Nix has seen his trials and tribulations in college athletics. Obviously starts against Oregon in that massive game at Auburn years ago on primetime. Everyone's blown away by him. And then he goes through those tough times like the Auburn program does. Those two part ways. He finds a home at Oregon. He's now excelling in that offense, in that West Coast offense that's really taken hold over the course of this season. And I was just, I mean, coming into that game, it seemed like everything was coming up the Ducks, because I think they had, in their last seven or eight games, since those two teams met in Spokane earlier this season, and Washington barely snuck out a win after a couple late fourth down stops that they had on the Ducks, it seemed like Washington was barely getting by, barely stringing along just enough to get wins, to get them into this Pac-12 championship, whereas Oregon was dominating the exact same teams. And the only difference between those teams was a one loss head-to-head, and this was the opportunity to beat, to revenge that game from earlier in the season on a neutral site field in the final battle of the Pac-12 championship. It seemed like the Ducks were going to have everything in their favor in this game. But of course, that's not the way it works in college football. This game was a 9.5-point spread that wasn't at all. After the first quarter, you could tell that Washington came to play. They went up 10-0 early in that game yesterday. Penix played a hell of a game. Roma Dunze is one of the best wide receivers in college football. I was blown away by him time and time again. Deep down the field, always seeming to be open. That Huskies offense is no joke. And I think Penix, if you're talking about Heisman Award winners, to lead this team to an undefeated season, to go through the gauntlet of teams that they played, I think if he can even get one win in the college football playoff, I think he's got to lock it up, because it's not JJ in my mind anymore. Unfortunately, Marvin Harrison, we knew that was going to be a long shot anyways. Bo Nix, he's now beaten twice, so you can eliminate that guy. Jane Daniels is really the only other guy in my head just based off the stats.
Incredible stats.
But he didn't get the wins to back it up behind that LSU team.
You need that combination, I think.
I think Penix, if I had to guess, is going to be the Heisman for the 2023 college football
season. Washington Huskies head coach, little factoid, they brought it to my attention today on the game day. He had won a national championship previously at NAIA at the University of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Oh. And my younger son, Ben Rickard, he played 2 years against him in the national championship and got throttled. He was a heck of a coach, but he would go cherry pick all these Division I schools where these kids maybe have had a little problems, and they could play at NAIA right away. And this is the 2010, 2011. But I'd forgotten that he built this little NAIA powerhouse, and now he's on the verge of potentially a national championship at Division I.
Do you see him staying at Washington after this, or do you think he tries to? Yeah, where do you think he's going to end up? I mean, so we've already seen some of the high profile jobs find new candidates, find new homes.
Do you consider Washington a high profile job?
They're going to the Big Ten. You know, I mean,
there'll be a lot more eyeballs on them now. People are going to know about their programs. Everyone, every sport. That's just the reality of these new TV contracts. So maybe he sticks around to see, you know, what this is going to do for these programs.
I think it's all about finding a more attractive job. I don't necessarily know where that more attractive job is. Obviously, we've seen Michigan State find their new coach out of the Pac-12. Texas A&M has found their man. I personally think Washington, based off the success they've had, based off the opportunity to go to the Big Ten, to play a new slate, obviously Penn State's going to play them next year. I can't wait for that. I think Kalen DeBoer and Dan Lanning should stay with Oregon and Washington after the season they've had. But I don't know. Maybe they'll get a bag thrown at them from some other major program that might make a change in this offseason. It'll be fascinating to see. There's plenty of coaching opportunities, but again, I think if you're moving into the Big Ten, if you're going to be in the SEC, those are the places you want to be. Obviously, you don't want to be at Oregon State or Washington State, who are in the dead man zone in the wake of the Pac-12's explosion. But, yeah, I think that Dan Lanning has done an incredible job. I think Kalen DeBoer has done an incredible job. Both of those guys, hats off to them for making this Pac-12 season the best I can remember in a long time. And with good reason, them being the first to punch their ticket in the college football playoff. I think I can say that with almost certainty.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, Ben Both and I were talking about a little wagering and some of the direction that we're going to be possibly going with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. So let's take a look at the games today that you've eyeballed and your prognostication, because Ben's going to be taking notes before he gets on his app.
Yeah, especially college football. I've been struggling on that. I
thought you were rolling. Oh, that was the pros.
That's pros. College football, I got no clue what's going on.
We'll get your pen.
You got to help me out, because I don't understand what makes it just doesn't make sense. You got these crazy teams doing all going over on things, and
he understands all of this. So this is your Jimmy. You don't even know who I'm talking
teams.
About.
Too many teams. This is
your source right now.
We got a number of championship games today. Obviously, some big numbers. The Michigan spread is 22 points against your Iowa Hawkeyes.
38-0. Yeah, you heard it right.
So
here.
You're taking the over in the game.
38-0.
Well, Iowa's 10-2 on covering under this season. So we'll see if they have an over in them.
They're not playing Michigan. Look what you guys did to us. 31-0.
Hey, that's a whiteout. That's a night game. That's usually going. Penn State covers those spreads handedly. That's one thing I believe in sports wagering. But ultimately, yeah, I think there's some big numbers on the board today. I obviously, Oscar and I, we have our pick six segment in our show on the Big Monday show. My first pick was the Washington versus Oregon over. That was set at 66.5 when I took it on Monday. Unfortunately, it crept down to 64.5 by game time, and it finished a 65-point game. So my pick six just barely missed out based off of taking it on Monday and not Saturday.
Me?
Yeah, it was painful to wake up to that this morning with that realization. We got the over today. We got the over today in the Texas versus Oklahoma State game. I think both of those teams are going to want to put up points to try to secure their spot in the Big 12 championship. I think there's going to be a number of points put up in the Miami, Ohio versus Kent State game. A little action for you on the slate today.
Oh, I see that.
There's plenty of stuff. The game that I'm most interested in is going to be the ACC championship between Louisville versus Florida State. We obviously have a backup quarterback, Tate Rodemaker, for Florida State, trying to lead his team into the college football playoff. I am of the camp. I think we should talk about this now while I'm bringing it up. Florida State is in if they win this football game. Do you agree with me?
I would like to say that, but unfortunately,
Personal opinion, though. I don't care about what the committee does.
No,
you don't think they're. I do not believe they should be in.
I don't think that the committee will let them in.
No. I don't care what you think the committee will do. What do you personally believe?
Oh, I believe they should be.
Okay, that is my question.
I believe they should be in.
I just don't
undefeated.
Think,
if,
yes,
it, now,
undefeated
now,
conference champion.
Now, if they beat Louisville in the last second field goal.
Doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me. It's an undefeated conference champion.
Gotcha.
And again, if you're an
and that was the barometer in the past anyway.
Yes, we've seen Cincinnati come in as a non-Power 5 conference team, and they got pummeled. But we gave them that chance, and the committee gave them that chance after people clamored for it. We saw UCF in previous years not get in despite their undefeated season. But the difference between that and this Florida State team is Florida State is a Power 5 team that won the Atlantic Coastal Conference. They beat Clemson, who had a down year. I understand that. But they beat them. They beat LSU on a neutral field to start the season. And again, they beat Florida to end the season, their bitter rival. And yes, I know they have a backup quarterback. I know Jordan Travis is not going to be playing football for the remainder of this season. But they still are a undefeated conference
they
champion.
Checked all the
they
boxes.
Beat exactly.
They checked all the boxes to be in the Final Four.
And I understand that, Alabama.
That's how I feel.
Alabama, Georgia, and Texas are all better football teams right now if you're going to go by the smell test, by the eye test. But what the resumes...
Isn't that what the committee will do?
I think they'll do the resumes. I think you have to do the resumes. It's what they do in college basketball all the time, because we'll see before the tournament get hurt. We'll see teams playing poorly. We'll see that affect them. I do understand that games that happen in November or December play more of an impact in college football minds and committee minds than games played in October. So that's why that FSU win over LSU doesn't necessarily help. But ultimately, you have to put Florida State in if they beat Louisville. That being said, I kind of think Louisville is going to win the game today. I really do. I think that loss against Kentucky was just enough to get them motivated because, yeah, they know their season's going to they may have still hung around in the college football playoff conversation last week if they would have won that game. But you lose to your bitter rival, but you still have a chance to salvage your season the first season under Jeff Braum at his alma mater at Louisville with a win in the ACC championship.
Take Louisville and get the points, point and a half.
That's what I was just about to ask. They got a boost going on right now on the Hard Rock app. It's plus 181 for Florida State to win, Georgia to win, and Michigan to win.
Don't touch it.
Don't touch it?
No.
That's fool's gold?
That Georgia-Alabama game...
Listen to him.
No
trust
idea.
Me.
I mean, I also those boosts can be a little tempting at times, but
I am tempted.
But I don't like trying to prognosticate three of those games in one bet. It's a parlay that it's got a high upside, but at those odds,
well,
I don't know.
What the odds are parlays?
Yeah,
I've hit one back in the day when I was your guys' age. I used to throw a few dollars here and there, more than a few, and I probably out of 50 parlays hit four. I mean, that's the odds.
Yeah, I mean, your stack, the sports books themselves want you to bet on parlays.
Oh, they're just like hooking you.
Yes, they'll take all your money for parlays because the odds are against you that multiple games you're going to be able to select correctly. That being said, if I was to make a pick in all of those games, I would take Louisville, I would take Georgia, and I would take Michigan. So I don't necessarily hate that bet. It's just... Do I feel confidence in three of those games? Yeah, we all feel confident Michigan's going to win that game. They're just throwing that in there to give you like maybe plus five odds on that. But outside of that, Louisville, Florida State, there's no way to have a strong conviction about either of these teams just based off of what we've seen. We've only seen one game of Tate Rodemaker. He did win in a very difficult site at Florida last week. And then I just Alabama, Georgia. It's going to be as good a game as you can imagine. King George is going to clobber them.
Yeah.
Jalen Milroe has progressed so well throughout this season. I don't know.
Maybe it's just because I was up in Georgia and I got the Bulldogs barking at me in my backyard. You know, maybe that's what's pushing me that over the edge there to go for him. But
they're the best team in college football. I don't care what anybody says.
I do think their quarterback. Their quarterback's not great, but they're still
Carson
like,
Beck has had a good
had
season.
A nice he's year. Having a good year, but he's I mean because every other position they got the best guys.
I mean,
but
he's thrown 22 touchdowns against six great. Interceptions. He's had over 3,400 yards.
He's the Brock Purdy. He's the Brock Purdy of NCAA college football. You agree?
I would say that's valid. I think he's very underrated because no one talks about him because they make that argument that Georgia's team around him is so good, and it's true.
So he manages it properly.
Yes, that at a certain point, you lose games. You're supposed to lose a game every once in a while. Georgia hasn't done that in over like 2 years, it feels like. So you got to give credit where credit is due.
It is 2 years.
This Georgia team, I think, has played so great all season. We've seen Alabama just barely sneak their way out of that Iron Bowl last weekend. We've already seen them slip up against Texas. I know they will show up in this game. I think it's going to be a great game. I think the spread was at 6.5. It's trickled down to 4.5 now in favor of Georgia. If you think the Bulldogs are going to win, I think I would have no problem playing that 4.5 just because of the fact that they can, when they're at their best, shut teams down, and their offense has enough in the tank. We've seen it before. But they've let teams like Missouri hang around, who's not a bad team, but they're still not as good as this Alabama team when Jalen Milroe is playing as good as he has
through
been
through the
recently.
Course of any season, Alex, you got to admit, teams will hang around on a good team. I mean, you can't be prepared each and every week as if you're playing in Alabama. Or you're playing your arch rival. That's just the reality of it.
Yes, and these are collegiate athletes.
And Missouri snuck up on a lot of people this year.
Yeah, Missouri was fantastic. I think Penn State might actually meet them in the Peach Bowl in Georgia potentially if the
oh, we got to get bowl predictions next week. Well, you guys will probably do that on Big Monday.
We hope to do so. I mean, there's plenty of bowl games coming up here. You know, hopefully Penn State gets a good one. I'm hoping for that. But, yeah, this is as good of a game as you're going to find on the slate today. I personally think Georgia will win. I think they have been the best team in college football, like you said, all season. I like Carson Beck. I like some of the guys they have on the defensive side of the ball. Despite all of the losses they had in the draft this previous season, I think Georgia will punch their ticket to the college football playoff alongside Washington. I think Louisville is going to throw a wrench into the mix. And I hope Texas. I think Texas is going to win.
I was going to ask you, Texas, Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Which Oklahoma State team is going to show up as the bottom line?
That's the biggest. I mean, we already have this game kicked off. Texas already up 7-0. So if you played the over like I did, you're feeling good about that. 5 minutes in, already got a score on the board.
She should have got that one in on the app.
Hey, you gotta shoot me a text or something, man. I'm losing opportunities to make some money.
This Texas team has been fantastic all year. They've let teams hang around, like we said. That's very possible. Their only loss. was earlier in the season. I think
Cyclones hung around for
quite a while. They barely got K-State in there. It was an OT win. Oh, yeah. Like you said, the Cyclones kept that close. It was a 10-point game. They TCU the following week. I mean, they've had a backup quarterback at times. That's not the case. Quinn Ewers is back. Their only loss is Oklahoma in the Red River rivalry. And personally, I think Texas is still a much better team. Because like you said, what Oklahoma State team are we going to see? Are we going to see the team lost 45-3 to UCF and had no offense?
That was just an absolute... I thought that the score had gotten reversed when I saw the ticker at the bottom. Mm-hmm. When I saw the scores as that game progressed, 45-3.
Yep. It's. I don't necessarily believe in Coach Gundy. I don't necessarily know what the ceiling of this Oklahoma State team is. I'm pretty confident, though. I mean, we had a massive spread on this game. I believe it was 14.5. Yeah, Texas should have no trouble in this game. I think Oklahoma State will score points. I think both of these teams are going to score points, but ultimately Texas is a much better, more well-rounded team. That's why they were able to go into Alabama, into Bryant-Denny Stadium, win that game earlier this season. And that's going to be the real conversation that people are going to be having after today. If Alabama beats Georgia and if Texas beats Oklahoma State, what do you do with those teams in the college football playoff conversation? If Florida State loses, that makes it a lot easier. But if Florida State wins, there's going to be a heated debate.
A lot of controversy.
As to who is those final two spots behind, or final spot, because you assume Michigan is going to be in there alongside Washington. So I think right now, if you had a gun to my head, Georgia wins the football game, they punch their ticket. Florida State loses their game, they get out. So you don't have to worry about them. Texas finds their way in with their conference championship, and then you get Washington, Texas, Georgia, and Michigan as your final four.
All right. Let's say Alabama beats Georgia. Mm-hmm. Now what are you doing?
If Alabama beats Georgia, and Texas wins against Oklahoma State.
Georgia out?
Georgia would be out, yeah. Georgia has to win this game, ironically, to be
in as well. And that's what... What blows about this, some of these elements, and this is the last year we're going to see.
It is.
It's going to be the last year we see the 4-team format. But that blows. I mean, if Georgia wouldn't be in, Alabama's gotten in before when they had one loss. And
I really don't know. Texas now.
Texas beat Alabama. We know that early in the season.
Texas up 14-0.
That was a long time ago.
They're dominating out of the gates. I don't see a path in for some of these teams if the results around them don't go their way. Florida State versus Georgia. Georgia should be in over Florida State. Everyone would rather watch Georgia in the college football playoff. But if Florida State wins, then they're just going to – I think they just got to be in, even though they're playing Louisville in their conference championship, not Alabama. And those games are not comparable at all.
Some buffoon today said, in Ohio State, if Iowa plays Michigan close, which is never going to happen, I'll grow hair back before that happens.
That's what they said on PTI the other day.
Who said that? Tony?
Tony, yeah. Booger.
I've met Tony before. He's a great guy. If that scenario took place, and the world would be shocked, Ohio State have an opportunity?
No. I don't even want to hear about Ohio State.
I couldn't even believe that they brought that topic up.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe they brought it up.
Ohio State's bird is cooked.
Michigan's a lock.
Yeah. Not a lock. They have to win. If they lose, they're out. They're not going to be in the college football
playoff. What if it's a 3-point game? Doesn't matter. They're undefeated.
No, if they win, they're in. If they lose, they're out. It's as simple as that. If Michigan loses, they will not be a college football playoff team in my eyes.
Because, and that blows too.
Yeah, it does. I mean, this is the funny thing about all of these debates, which are fun to have in the moment, but they're going to be gone next year because we're going to have a 12-team playoff. And the Penn States of the world are going to be sneaking in next year. Now
Ben's going to call his bookie.
It's now simplified. And when we look at the conversation next year, it's going to be the best teams in, but some teams that really don't deserve to be in. This year, there's going to be some teams that deserve to be in that aren't going to, just based off of the way the committee has set this up. So I'm excited to see how today's Championship Saturday plays out. We have the bowl games coming out very soon. It's going to be a very exciting day of football, Mike.
Your lovely wing woman, you got a long 24 hours ahead of you, with some great games. Iowa kicks off at 8. I told my 85-year-old mother you're gonna have to sleep in last night, and you're gonna have to take a nap. And the game will probably put you to sleep anyway, Mom.
Yeah, and don't forget, we have SMU versus Tulane playing for a championship day in the American
Troy,
Athletic.
Troy, App State.
We got App State, Troy in the Sun Belt, and then Boise State in versus UNLV in the Mountain West. So there's plenty of college football on today if you are a college football junkie and some of the best teams.
I listened to one of the other stations. And this was kind of something fun that you guys could do on Big Monday. But they're guessing the ticket prices of these respective games.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear it?
I did not see this, no.
Cheapest ticket for Georgia, Alabama. Take a shot. In the nosebleeds.
We'll say $320.
Yeah, right on. Well, you should know. You traveled a lot of these venues. Boise State, UNLV, actually was a more expensive ticket than last night's game, Washington, Oregon.
Well, I believe that. The West Coast fans can be a little iffy. Those Mountain West fans, I trust them to put up more money. Also, that was at Allegiant Stadium, I believe, in Vegas yesterday. Yeah. So that's a huge stadium. It's a little easier to find a nosebleed in there, I'm sure.
Toledo, Miami.
That's up in Oscar's neck of the woods in Detroit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would say that one's going to go for $125.
The cheapest. $2.
Oh,
$2.
I had more faith in the Mac to show up. My apologies, Mac.
Tulane, SMU.
We'll say 45.
Right there, about $45.
Nice.
Michigan, Iowa.
I'm gonna say,
this isn't a big game for Michigan.
I was gonna say
Michigan fans don't really give a crap. This is their third year in a row in
Indianapolis. Yeah, I would say this one's gonna be like $50.
65.
Okay. Well, a little over that.
Yeah, you're right there. You were a lot better than these guys were supposedly. Well, you are an expert, but I thought that was kind of...
I've bought enough tickets in my lifetime. Now, does that include the fees? Because the fees are where they get you.
Ooh, yeah,
you know? I was looking at concert tickets for next week. $80 for the tickets, $50 for the fees. So, you know, you just gotta be vigilant.
Is he taking you to Tyler Swift?
Taylor Swift? An underground country artist?
Steven Tyler. Aerosmith.
So... Yeah, I would pay $2 for that MAC championship in a heartbeat. Kent State versus Miami of Ohio. Absolutely love to see that.
In a heartbeat. Oh, Texas, Oklahoma State.
I'll say $100.
About a buck. About $100.
Okay. Yeah, I'd probably a little over that after fees and everything like that. I mean, this is gonna be a blowout. I feel like
we're talking ticket prices at these respective championships, and it's kind of the delta goes from $2 to $320 some. To go watch at Alabama and Georgia.
No, well, those fans show up.
These are the nosebleeds. Why would you want to go?
Doesn't Ferg have over 100 TVs here at Ferg's?
Well, my point is, wouldn't you rather watch in some cool sports environment?
Got to be there.
You don't sit in the cheap seats.
I sit in the cheap seats. What are you talking about? How do you think I go to all the games? If I was buying the nice seats, I would be out. I'd be on the street right now.
You just appear to be the kind of cat that would want the best seat you possibly can get.
No, I'm quantity over quality of seats, without a doubt. If you can get me into 5 games for the same price as going to 1 game with the nice seats, all day.
Well, Alex, I appreciate you coming down, and looking forward to a big Monday. You and I will be at the helm. I've been doing my homework.
It's been a pleasure.
I'm going to pour a lot of energy into my homework for Monday to support you. And that, of course, is from 6 to 8 right here on Florida Sports Streams, RadioSt.Pete.com. Have a great weekend, and get you guys yourself something to eat if you want. Just tell Brittany it's on me.
Will do. Thank you very much.
He's Alex Reba. We've got in the house, of course, we got a couple of the Northeast Viking football players and their head coach, Sean Davis. We'll make a little room for them, and let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll be back with our Body Armor Prep Connection with the Northeast Viking football kids and their head coach, Sean Davis.
Halftime's over. Reset the clock.
We're going to shut them down.
Dial the down.
Do it!
And get your head in the game.
Visualize an attack. Yes. Visualize an attack.
With the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from the Clubhouse Studios, inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I'll take a scotch and water. Hold the scotch.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Ferg
Berg's Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Fred here. Welcome to the Sea Dog Treasure Island, a waterfront brew pub with a golf-inspired menu. Known for handcrafted cocktails and a wide variety of award-winning Sea Dog and Shipyard beers brewed right on site. Now serving breakfast daily starting at 8 a.m.
Chef Charlie here, featuring our homemade family recipes. Come try Big Mama's homemade biscuits and gravy, our award-winning shrimp and grits, and our handcrafted Maine lobster Benedict.
Located on the water, just walking distance to the Treasure Island Beach. Enjoyment for all ages. Cheers.
Pulling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Yeah. Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. If I would pay attention, I've got in the house our Body Armor High School Headquarters Conversations with the Northeast Vikings and Sean Davis. Kind enough to bring a couple of young men, my new bodyguards from Northeast Vikings. Well, Coach, so you brought me a junior and a senior for a little conversation.
Yes, sir.
So how you been?
I'm good.
Congratulations on, every coach this time of year probably looks back at the season and we could have done this, we could have done that, but you had another very successful season for Northeast Vikings.
Yes, sir. The feedback I got on that is I think we went one step further towards our goal. I'm proud of what we did. You know, you could have went 10-0 and lost in the first round, but we got over the hump, so to speak. So we got that under. So the goal now is a regional championship or a regional title. You gotta get over the guys like Jesuit, Tampa Bay Tech, things like that. So I want our kids to see that. This is what we're working for.
This is year. This was year number three, right?
Of you
at the helm, and you've built a program. You're sending kids to the next level, which is the goal for, you know, the ones that have the talent and the grades for it, and you should be proud of that as well, because that again is a tradition building step for a program. Kids want to come and play for you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Like I said, you know, as far as our program go, you know, we got a kid or two D1 level. I'm trying to get kids in now. Like I said, we were 8-4 this year. We finally won a playoff game, which is big, especially at Northeast, like being there 3 years. We've been to the playoffs all 3 years. And I'm just happy to say I'm at the helm. We're just going to keep moving forward from there.
One of the most exciting games I saw of the year, fellas, was your game against and I love him, Marcus Pascal, because he played at the University of Iowa, where I'm from. But your game against my Packers from Largo, I'm a Green Bay Packer fan, that's why I say mine, but, and his son's playing for him. But that's probably the most exciting play of this 2023 season was that final play. Talk a little bit about that, because I'm watching on video, I'm like, what the hell just happened there? You guys had just been going crazy after that finish.
Absolutely.
What, 8 seconds left?
I think it was 14 or 15. We do two-minute drill all the time with the offense. I'm going to let Trey talk about it because he's the quarterback. I saw them being loose. They wouldn't send any pressure. So he just talk about it, Trey.
So introduce this young man.
This is Trey Worley, transferred from Clearwater High School. He came to me, you know, at the beginning of the year, I didn't give him the whole playbook. But after, like, I knew if you got two quarterbacks, you ain't got any. So around week two or three, I made a decision. He got in the game against Lakewood, gave us momentum. It was his job on from there forth on. So I'm going to let him talk about the last play and what he did this year.
Well, welcome to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. I didn't know that you were the young man that lofted that rock up in the air, but bravo. That was one of the coolest high school clips I've seen in 2023. Talk about it, and, you know, who was on the receiving end of that, by the way?
Javion McKenzie, number 14.
A little closer there, young man.
Javion McKenzie, number 14, one of my go-to guys at receiver. He had a great year. He transferred in as well from Clearwater, so I already had a little bit of chemistry with
him. So he was one of your guys already.
Yeah.
You guys had some chemistry.
Yeah.
How cool was that?
It's pretty cool. I love the kid. He's definitely going places. He's still got another year at Northeast, so hopefully he has an even better season. I think he's trying to get 1,000 receiving yards next year.
So Largo's sitting in their prevent, which typically is kiss of death, at the pro level, college level. Did you think you had a legitimate shot of getting that in the end zone when you threw it? Or just the typical, we got to get it up there and somebody's got to make a play?
So situations like those, we've been practicing that all year. Coach, at the end of every practice, we always go over a two-minute drill, what we call Mayday. And we just try to score with the clock running, no timeouts, try to get into the score zone to at least get a field goal or a touchdown. So it was a situation that I was pretty familiar with, and the offense was as well. I trusted my old line up front to give me the time, and I just trusted my athletes on the field just to get the ball to them. Hopefully they make a play and score, which we did. And that was probably one of my most exciting high school career moments.
Probably the number one, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Well, and we're not talking about some chumps on the other side of the ball.
Yeah.
That Largo Packer defense all year, I mean, they've got Division I kids dotted across that lineup. And it's not like you were playing against a team that didn't have a defensive structure. I mean, that was their claim to fame. And you guys shocked the world, essentially. I was looking at the ticker, you know, all night long, the scores, and I'm thinking, I'm going to text my buddy Marcus, congrats, and Sean, hey, great game. And then my old carcass fell asleep, and I woke up in the middle of the night, I'm checking the scores, I'm like, what the hell happened here? The Vikings came back. I probably, there was like a minute left in the game, and I just pretty much threw it in. It was going to be the Largo game.
Yeah, we threw a pick with like a minute left. He threw it, it bounced off the same kid's hand, and I think it went off his hands and went to a Largo defender's hand.
Yeah.
I think we had a couple times.
That's about left. When I thought you guys were done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
just keep fighting, man.
That is a statement on resilience, isn't it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
Now, look at your beautiful bride. She's got that Green Bay Packard logo on the front.
So
I'm 67 years old, and I've been a Packers fan for 67 years. Anyway, let's go back to that play. Did you guys just go nuts? And you're watching on the sidelines. Were you on the field? You're on the field. A little closer to the mic.
Yes, sir. I was on the field when it happened. It was a crazy moment, crazy moment.
When it was in the air, did you think watching it?
When it was in the air, I'm just watching. I'm just praying he catch the ball and go score.
Well, everybody's praying, but it actually happened. And I bet you guys celebrated that whole week. Well, no, you had preparation.
We had to go to Hillsboro for the playoff game.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Earl Garcia.
Yes, sir, my guy.
I'm not much taller than most people, but.
You're taller than him.
I like pictures with Earl Garcia because I look like I'm a tall dude, but I'm just a wrinkled up shrimp. So that obviously was your favorite memory of probably your high school career so far.
Yeah.
All sure. Right. Well, I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Number one, you got a girlfriend?
No, I do not.
Good answer. That's why you're having such success. Sorry, ladies. He's got to focus right now. He's got to focus.
Yeah. No time for girls.
You got to focus. Want to do a shout out to anybody at home?
Yeah, I'd like to shout out both of my parents.
Their names?
Heather Worley and Bob Worley. Without them, none of this would be possible. The amount of investment they've put into me, I'm just very grateful. And now it's time for me to give back to them, play at the next level, and have a family of my own, successful, just like they did.
Well, you look very confident, young man. What kind of plans have you, have anybody been reaching out to you if they get to the next level and opportunity to play?
I'm narrowing
I'm sure
it.
Coach helps you with that a lot. He's great at it.
Definitely. I've narrowed it down. I'll be making a big announcement pretty soon here. next couple of days.
You'll be more than welcome to come down and make it on the airwaves on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Any of your guys want to make an announcement, they can come down here. I'll set it up, and we'll make their announcements here.
Yes, sir.
That'd be kind of cool, actually.
Yes, sir. It would be awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, better talk to your parents. Better talk to Coach about that.
Okay.
All right, your favorite college team?
Favorite college team? I don't have any right now.
That's a good thing to say when you haven't made a commitment anywhere.
Yeah.
favorite pro team?
Pro team, probably the Bucks.
At least you're not a bandwagon rider.
Yeah,
I like that.
From the Tampa Bay, so I've always been watching the Bucks. It was exciting when Tom Brady came. I really enjoyed seeing
him. Especially
Tom Brady
as a quarterback, you like that. Well, young man, thank you for coming down. I appreciate it. Look forward to your announcement, and we'll put it all over social media. Now, he's been so patient and quiet over here. Your name, young man, and you're a junior?
Yes, sir.
Well, so you're the future next year when you guys advance to the next level of the playoffs, right?
Yes, sir.
So what position do you play?
I play linebacker, safety, running back.
So you're one of those versatile athletes that Coach tells me he likes to have on us.
Yes, sir.
You like running the rock, or do you like taking it on?
Honestly, I love defense a little bit more. I like to come down and hit people. I love to make them game changer plays on defense.
Well, you guys made a lot of them this year as you got into the playoffs. And talk about that game, because it was back and forth, a battle of. Obviously, your defense is just as solid as the Largo Packers, and that was a defensive game. And you guys made some impact, obviously, for that win.
So defensively, I feel like we held their offense to a pretty good extent. They really couldn't move the ball like that. Besides their quarterback running the ball a couple times. But other than that, I felt like we did a real good job holding their offense down.
What was your best personal memory of this season?
My best personal memory of this season was the
one play, something that you did that impacted the outcome of the game, or something you were really proud of.
The first game of the season when we played Lakewood, I made the game-winning interception.
I shouldn't applaud that, but I love that that you guys got Lakewood. I'm just going to leave it at that. It was great to see you get Lakewood, and that's a big move for any program, given the rich tradition that Coach Moore has over there. And so you had the game-winning interception?
Yes, sir.
Bravo, my man. Bravo. So that was your favorite. And then, as a team, it had to have been, what are you guys calling that, the reception? I mean, you got to come up with some kind of name for that.
Yeah, that was big, but here's the deal, though. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking we got to win a playoff game.
Well, I know, that's coach speak.
Yeah, that's coach speak.
But in the moment.
Oh, it was great. It was great. I was ecstatic.
You got to label it something eventually here, you know. When you're an old man, you can say, hey, I threw the pass in the reception or whatever the heck you're going to call it.
Yeah, for sure. I get it.
When the Vikings landed or something.
We got to come up with a name for it.
Exactly. And your interception was pivotal. You're never going to forget that one, especially being against Lakewood.
Yes, sir.
You know any of those guys?
A couple of them. Yes, I do. Yes, sir.
And you guys probably know a lot of the Largo guys.
Yeah.
You might know a few Clearwater guys.
I do.
Yeah, like the entire team. How about CCC making it to the state championship?
I went to that game last night. That was big for the county. I'm proud of those guys, Coach Harvey and family, so it was good.
Who was that young wide receiver that had that wonderful catch in the corner? He's going to Purdue.
Shamar.
Man, that kid is the real deal.
Yeah. He played for Lakewood last year.
He did?
Yeah. I think he had a couple touchdowns on us last year.
Man.
I think it was number one for Lakewood. Yeah, he long. He can run. He can catch.
That was a one.
Yeah,
that,
for sure.
I mean, that was playing on Saturdays and Sunday potential catch.
Yeah. For sure.
And it's your job to stop those guys from making those catches, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. So what's your goal for next year? You're going to be a captain, a leader of this team in 2024.
The goal for next year is to work together as a team and get as far as we can, hopefully to states.
He looks too nice to be a defensive guy that just wants to knock your head off. You look nice and calm and mild-mannered, but that all changes, obviously.
It's a whole different switch.
Gotcha. And then he got him on the offensive side as well.
Yeah, he run the ball a little bit too. He's a heck of a running back also. He's an athlete, but I know he like defense.
I know you like athletes. That, when you're sitting there in the summer, we've talked about it, you're not certain what guys, with the exception quarterback, you're going to put in certain positions. But when you got versatility, especially in the world of injuries, that's a big plus.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You got to be the insert. I mean, as a head coach, you don't go to sleep without thinking, okay, what if this guy go down? What if that guy go down? So you always got to be the push and pull and put together, you know, the unbelievable. I tell these kids all the time, like, my job is to outthink you and to help you be better. So I got to think about that all the time.
And he does a good job of that, doesn't he?
Of course, yes, sir.
And he works out hard on Sundays because I always see sweating like he just got out of the shower. So, you got a girlfriend?
Yes, sir.
Well, that keeps you focused. Different strokes for different folks. He doesn't have a girlfriend, you do. That's not. Want to do a shout out? You better do a shout out to her.
Shout out to Johanna June.
And anybody at home you want to do a shout out to?
My mom's, of course, Kiara Barbary.
Yep, yeah. Definitely. All right. Well, moms and everybody back home, you got two wonderful young men, I can tell. Coach is building the program here. I'll see you down here next year, a media day, and you'll be the focal point, I'm sure. And Coach, I'll talk to you soon. I appreciate you. And we need to get your son on so we can talk a little Packers, Iowa State.
Yes, sir.
And go from there. Thanks for bringing the fellas down.
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Yes. You betcha. You guys have a Merry Christmas, too.
Thank you. Hey, appreciate you.
And good luck. I'll make sure I get the announcement.
All right.
All right. Why don't you come on over, Ben? Ben left. Ben Botham's out of the house. Come on over, Jay, real quick. A little prediction on your... Okay. Well, I'm winding the show down. You guys just go continue anyway. That was a great conversation. Of course, come on down. Two Fergs. Today, it is conference championship Saturday down here. We got 105 televisions, whichever screen you'd like for your party to come down. You don't need to make reservations. We've got plenty of room, and it is just a spectacular, glorious day down here on this December 2nd, first Saturday in December. Jay, grab a mic real quick and give me a prediction on your... on your Georgia Bulldogs. You don't need the headphones, my man.
The prediction's already in. It's going to be 38. I gave 30 points to Alabama.
You be realistic.
I gave them courtesy points at the end. Should be 38-30 UGA today.
38-30.
Yeah,
38-30. I thought you said.
Oh, you thought I said it backwards?
I thought you said you're giving them 30 points.
Yeah, Alabama on my prediction at the end.
Yeah, as far as their score. My Iowa Hawkeyes are playing at 8 o'clock in the Big Ten Conference Championship, and that will be, it's a 22.5-point favorite. It will be 38-0, and that's...
38-0, and Michigan over Iowa?
And 38-0 will be the score.
You got it. Shout out to the Hero Law Firm for that $100 bet, my 38-30 score today. Michigan over Iowa for sure. I could definitely see that one. I think it's going to be a I think they'll probably give them 3 to 7 points for Iowa, and then Michigan's just going to take it to the house the rest of the day.
Well, sorry I didn't get you on a little earlier for a little prognostication. Of course, tomorrow, Bucks-Panthers. Bucks finally get a W.
I think they're still making their statement over there in the NFC South.
You know? Statement.
Trying to. Their statement is
tank the season and get a number one draft pick.
That's survive.
All right. So for Rowdy Soccer segment, Jim Hart, and of course David Wilson. Sorry we didn't catch up with Wyatt Ross. Of course, Gavin Van Dyke breaking down the high school. Alex Reba, great job. Tom Ryan, Joe Bedrol, Matt on the control. I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Wishing you and your families a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. And always be sure to have a championship week.